good morning and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate so much your tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. We hope that you'll also have opportunity to have Bible in hand. And certainly if at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's been given to you by our announcer. We looked at Acts chapter 15 and the Jerusalem discussion that took place over the matter of circumcision. It is in the latter part of chapter 15, beginning with verse 36, that we have Paul beginning his second missionary journey. We studied about the first one in chapters 13 and 14. Let's begin with this second journey and begin reading in Acts 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And his contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria, Cilicia, confirming the churches. So we see now here in verses 36 to 38 that there is a disagreement that arises between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. We see that from verse 35 to verse 36 that obviously there has been some time that has passed, and Paul makes the suggestion to Barnabas that they go back and revisit the churches that were established on that first missionary journey and see how it was that they were doing. Barnabas, as we read there in verse 37, wants to take John Mark. But Paul has seemingly lost confidence in John Mark, because you recall that in that first missionary journey, in chapter 13 and verse 13, that Mark went back, turned away in that first journey and went back. Paul thought that he had displayed weaknesses and was not reliable, but Barnabas thought that he should be given a second chance. Perhaps his thinking was influenced by the fact that we read in Colossians 4 and verse 10 that Barnabas and John Mark were related to one another. Perhaps the combination of Paul's and Barnabas' attitude was good for Mark. Paul's attitude would have impressed upon him the seriousness of the weakness that he had displayed, while Barnabas's manifestation of confidence would have encouraged him to make good on his second chance. So it is then that John Mark later regains Paul's confidence, as Paul makes reference to him in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, and also in Philemon, the 24th verse, since Philemon has no chapters, and also when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, Paul makes mention of John Mark in a much more favorable light. So what we see takes place in verse 39, 40 and 41 is that Paul and Barnabas separate. Each one obviously has strong feelings about the matter, so they part ways. There was no ill feelings, there was no animosity, there was certainly no hostility between each other. They just simply took the course that his judgment deemed appropriate. So Barnabas and John Mark sail to Cyprus, verse 39, and Paul and Silas go through Syria and Cilicia in verses 40 and 41. So it is then that the second missionary journey begins. In fact, we have the accounts given to us in Acts 16, 17, and 18. So we see that with a new traveling companion, Paul with Silas travels to Syria and Cilicia, and we find that chapter 16 covers them revisiting churches that were established on that first missionary journey and the beginning of the work in Macedonia. First of all, let's look in chapter 16 and read the first three verses. Then came he, this of course is referring to Paul, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, and his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with them, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So we see that Paul and Silas revisit the churches, and we find that they connect with now the first introduction we are given to Timothy. We read the fact that his mother, Timothy's mother, was a Jew. His father was a Greek. He was well known. He was well respected by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. And we see that Paul wanted Timothy to travel with him and to help in the work. So we see that Paul takes him and has him circumcised. This was so that he would have greater influence among the Jews who knew that his father was a Greek. You see, in this case, he was merely meeting social customs to have greater influence. However, in the case of Titus, in Galatians 2, verses 3 through 5, when the pressure was put on by the Judaizing teachers, Paul refused to have Titus circumcised. So it is, then, that the churches obviously were doing well. In verse 4 of Acts chapter 16, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The text doesn't specifically mention Antioch, however, we sort of assume that it was visited since it was Paul's intent, after all, to revisit the churches that were established in the first journey. They traveled through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, and we see that they are forbidden to preach in Asia. We see that in most, this is not really the continent of Asia, but the Roman province in the western part of the Asia Minor. Now, how they were forbidden, we simply are not told. They came to Mysia, and they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of God does not permit that. God has other plans, so they come to Troas. We see that from Troas they go to Philippi. At Troas, we see in verses 9 through 12, that Paul received a call to go to Macedonia. Look in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Saul, Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So we see then that this vision from this man in Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us, he concluded that the Lord had called him to preach the gospel there. So Luke here, if you'll notice, uses the word we in verse 10. And thus we see, obviously, that now Luke has joined Paul, Silas, and Timothy in their travels. So from here we see they travel from Troas to Philippi, rather. Verse 11, therefore, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So let's see what we read, because from verse 13, where we left off, all the way through the end of the chapter 16, verse 40, we see what takes place at Philippi. First of all, we read of another conversion. This time it's the conversion of a woman by the name of Lydia. Let's begin reading with verse 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So we see that it was on the Sabbath day that Paul and the company that was with him went to the riverside, where there were some women who regularly met there for prayer, as verse 13 mentions. To reach others with the gospel, we see that they went to where the people were, rather than, as we often expect that people are going to come to us if they happen to be interested in the gospel. We see then that there they met a woman named Lydia. What do we know about her? Well, verse 14 tells us that she was from Thyatira. Thyatira is located in Asia Minor. From where they are in Philippi, that would be probably 250, maybe 300 miles away. Perhaps she had traveled to Philippi on business, selling her purple. And that's another thing we find out about her in verse 14. She is a seller of purple. She sold a very expensive dye used by the rich, according to what we see in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. So she seems to have a successful business. So we need to understand that success and spirituality are not always enemies. Business and spiritual things do not have to be enemies. And we find in verses 13 and 14 something else about Lydia. She was religious. The fact that she had gathered with other women for prayer tells us how religious she was. Verse 14 says that she worshipped God. To realize that she was either a Gentile who was God-fearing, like Cornelius was, or she could have very well been a convert to the Jewish religion, therefore maybe a proselyte. But in fact, Ben, is that she had gathered with other women for prayer. That tells us how religious she was. She was also, verse 14, receptive to the gospel. And then we read in verse 14, the statement is made that whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. It's with that we'll see in our time is gone, and we'll pick up with that point in our study tomorrow, Lord's willing. Thank you for listening, and certainly we hope that you'll have a good day, and now we turn you back to our announcer.